wonderful to be here again. You know you're always on my mind and heart. I do truly love this place. It'll always be my home, although I have other homes. But I do look forward to whenever I can be with you to be here. Didn't feel like preaching this morning before I got here, but yeah, I'm honest now. Y'all know I'm honest, but I feel like preaching now after that song service. And I pray that the Lord would bless, because I know I just can't do it. A psalm that's been on my mind this week, maybe even more, is the 63rd psalm. And what's really on my mind is kind of just the first line. But I do, Lord willing, want to go in further into this psalm. And I want to go in, I like to look at the history or the reason a psalm might have been written. You know, in the 51st psalm, it tells us this psalm was written after Nathan came unto David. And that was that's a sad psalm. And here it says, and of course, this isn't inspired here, but it says a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. So I suspect this was whenever Saul was pursuing him, and he had gone out into the wilderness. Saul, whom he loved dearly, but the kingdom had been taken from Saul because he didn't follow the commandment of the Lord. The Lord sent Samuel to Saul and says, I'm taking it from you and I will give it to another. And as you know the story, the Lord sent Samuel to Jesse's house where he ended up anointing the lad, David, who was out keeping his father's sheep. But David still loved Saul dearly. He had a close relationship with him. Later on, he played the harp whenever Saul had an evil spirit. And then he defeated Goliath. And that's where Saul started getting jealous. And they kept on, and David was defeating enemies left and right, and people were singing songs. Saul has defeated his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. So anyway, and so now Saul wants to kill David, but David is an honorable man in all this, and he says, I will not lay my hand to the Lord's anointed. Let that be a reminder to us, of whenever the Lord anoints a man. I love to... he's a special man. He's a called man, if you will. But here he's running. The first line of this says, O God, thou art my God. What a, just in those five words, if you will, what an expression that is. First it's believing, first he's professing he believes in God. But that's not a big deal. It tells us, I believe in James, the devils believe and tremble. You know, it says, the fool saith in his heart that there is no God. I can't understand people who will not admit that there had to be something to create this earth. That it just all came to acts, that something came from nothing. I can't figure that out. But you know, as I said, it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And then in Proverbs, it tells us to answer not a fool according to his folly. So those aren't the people I'm going to argue with. Because they're fools if they believe that there is no God. But David says, O God, thou art my God. What a relation. He realizes the relationship that he has with God, that God has with him most of all. You know, and just look at there's doctrine right there in that one little piece, five words. He is, God, you are my God. I believe that he's acknowledging, you knew me. You know, David in another psalm says, while I was made to hope, while I was on my mother's breast. I look at David and I think of the things he went through. And I think of other things we go through. David had a life of ups and downs. He had a life of utter mess ups. But he still said in the end, He hath made a covenant with me, although he make it not to grow. An everlasting covenant, he says, on his deathbed, basically, in his last days. I tell you, even though he messed up, he knew that God was his God. I tell you, that we could remember that God indeed is our God. All that before the world began, he knew us. And he loved us, and he made us to hope. I don't know when it was for you or when it was for me, but as David said, I was made to hope while on my mother's breast. I believe John the Baptist was made to hope when he was in his mother's womb, if you will. I believe the thief on the cross was made to hope whenever he was right before he died. I believe that the Apostle Paul was made to hope on the road to Damascus. And I believe all of us from time to time, we're made to hope sometimes in our life. Oh, but we heard a sermon this Wednesday night about hope. I tell you, thank God that we have that hope. It tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if in this life only we have the hope of God, hope of Christ, we are of all men most miserably. No, I tell you, our hope reaches beyond this low ground of sin and sorrow. How many songs did we sing this morning? Looking forward to a place till the vaults of heaven ring. There'll be no sorrow there. I tell you, we have a hope, an earnest expectation. Oh, that someday we're not going to have to worry about a virus. We're not going to have to worry about politics. We're not going to have to worry about division. I tell you, there will be no sorrow there, and we can look directly into it. And because of that, we can say, oh, God, thou art my God. Oh, we can look in things in our life, and we can just say, I have the evidence. Oh, thank God for that. I think often how good he is that he has shown us these things in this life. Oh, he's saved us, but he could have never told us about it until the end. He could have let us suffer. Oh, but here we are on a Saturday morning in McMahon, Texas, where we come in to his house, where we can come and hear the gospel proclaimed, where we can utter up our voices to his praise. Oh, where we can go down to the throne of grace and find grace to help in time of need. I tell you, I think of that as my dad said in his prayer, all the people through the past, I can't come to this place without thinking of the past and the people that I've had here that have affected my life, all that have come here, all the way to 1852 last week. Me and Brother Shane Arnold, we got to reading minutes. That's why they're all sitting out. Oh, and you can just look through the ages, and the things that people have went through. 1852, you know, there was a civil war between that time. People came into this house and they found refuge in it. Oh, and I believe they came and says, oh, God, thou art my God. What a blessing it is. And I tell you, I believe that gave David strength that he could just think on that. Oh, God, thou art my God. Early, he said, will I seek thee. Believe it or not, I'm doing better at that. I try to do that. Get up early. My goal is to have some time in the morning before I go to work. I said my goal. That I might seek him. You know, it tells us in Proverbs 3, 4, and 5, lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. Well, how are we going to acknowledge him if we don't seek him, if we don't pray to him? Early, he says, will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. That's where we are. Sometimes we can jade ourselves and get to feeling pretty comfortable in this world and forget. But it's dry and thirsty. And the child of God, if he's trying to follow after God, will get thirsty in this world. Now, they can come pretty comfortable in it. I've done it myself. But when we are pursuing after him, you're going to get thirsty. It's going to vex your soul to see the condition of this world and people. You know, I remember Granddaddy talking about war. Says it was alarming to see the depravity of man. And we're here in Little McMahon, Texas. We can hide ourselves pretty good. But there's people in this world still warring, if you will. And he says, I thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry land and thirsty land where no water is. Then he says, verse 2, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Now, last Sunday, Brother Shane preached at Stratton. And I just opened with this. That's been on my, I guess it's been on my mind over a week. But I just read that verse and gave way. And then in his psalm, he got up to preach on Psalm 73. My feet had well nigh slipped. How often? He says, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish. And then on and further on it goes into, until I went into the sanctuary of God and understood I therein. The sanctuary. I believe that's where we are now. You know, we drive by places. Might be called a sanctuary, wildlife sanctuary. I'm trying to remember. There's one down there around Eagle Lake, Prairie Chicken Sanctuary or something. It's something where you can't get, you can't hunt the animals, you can't, it's protected. And here we are, I believe, in the sanctuary. Let me try to find over in Exodus 15. Verse 16, fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of thine arm. They shall be as still as a stone till thy people pass over. O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Then verse 17, thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in. In the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established, the Lord shall reign forever and ever. I tell you, the Lord is reigning now. You know, in Hebrews 1, it tells us that he is upholding all things by the word of his power. Word of his power. That just, I'm about to get to some power, Lord willing. And I forgot about that verse. But it says he is upholding all things by the word of his power. If this earth is still going, if it's still turned, if the sun came up this morning, you can rest assured that the Lord is on his throne because he upheld it, if you will. If you took a breath, he upheld you. You know, it tells us whenever the Lord was tempted by Satan and he says, make these stones bread. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word. Breathe. You're living by it. He's upholding all these things. Now, you know I don't believe that we all have a time to die and everything. But I tell you, how often we take for granted how active God is in our life. The small blessings. I do it. Oh, I just want to take my big problems to the Lord. What's a big problem to the Lord? You know? What's a small problem to the Lord? He made the seas part with the blast of his nostrils. O Lord, which thou hast made thee to dwell in the sanctuary, a safe spot, hiding place, which thy hands have established. He established it. I tell you, the Lord came to this world, to this earth, to save sinners from their sin. But he also came to set up his kingdom on this earth. He's not coming to set up his kingdom on the earth. He came to set up his kingdom in the earth, and he is currently reigning in that kingdom now. That's why we believe that the Lord is the head of the church. The Lord, we don't go to, I'm trying to remember who I was listening to, and they said they read somewhere that the head of the Primitive Baptist Church was in Thornton, Arkansas, I believe. No, it's not. The head of the church, I believe, is at the right hand of God. He says, there will I be with you, singing with you. I tell you, when we meet in the church, it is the kingdom. It is heaven comes down our souls to greet, and glory fills the mercy seat. Oh, I tell you, we are in the kingdom when his Spirit is with us. Back in the 63rd Psalm, he says, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Oh, sir, what did they say? Oh, sir, we would see Jesus. Oh, that's what we desired today, isn't it? Yes, we desired to come together and see each other. I was very happy when I walked in. I didn't know y'all were all in the lunchroom. And the new members were the only ones sitting here. And I was like, I've been looking for you. I've heard of you. I tell you, it does my heart good. I'm so glad that the Lord is blessing this place. And I trust, may we all remember that the Lord is indeed blessing this place. And it did my heart good to meet them and see them. What was I saying? Oh, sir, we would, yes. But we came, I trust, to see and hear about our Savior. Oh, sir, we would see Jesus. And it says, I've seen thee in the sanctuary. But then he says, to see thy power and thy glory. I tell you, don't we love power? Oh, that's what we, well, if we want to, if you want to watch an action movie, you want to see power, well, let me tell you, as I said, he's upholding all things by the word of his power. Oh, to think on the power of God, the things that he did. He just spoke this world into existence. He said, let there be light, and there was light. One of my favorite examples of the Lord's power is when they came to take Jesus, and he said, whom seek ye? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. He says, I am he. And immediately it says they fell back on the ground. I don't understand what was wrong with those people. I'd have found something else to do that day. But they went ahead with their deal. I tell you, it tells you their hearts were indeed wicked. Oh, but he says, I am he. And they fell back to the ground. I tell you, that's power. Oh, but the greatest example, I believe, of his power is actually subduing his power. Oh, at that same point when they came to take him, Peter drew his sword and cut off his ear. And the Lord Jesus says, think not that I can presently pray to my Father in heaven and he can send 12 legions of angels. He's saying, I have the power to destroy this earth. Oh, but I'm not come to destroy, but I've come to save, if you will. That's what he was here for. And he had to lay aside his power, if you will. Where he subdued his power, if you will, where he didn't employ that. He submitted himself to the cross, if you will, despising the shame. Oh, but here we yet in the, he says, I'm going to see it in the sanctuary, though. He's not talking about the times when Jesus was walking. He was talking about before, actually. But I believe it applies to us today in this sanctuary where we can see his power. Now, you know where I'm going to go, don't you? When we're talking about seeing the power of God today, well, in Romans 1, we got the Apostle Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? For it is the power of God unto salvation, unto everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also unto the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Oh, he says, I'm not ashamed of it. Oh, I tell you, Apostle Paul could have been. He had every reason, to look for, he needed an excuse. Let me rephrase this. He could have easily looked for an excuse to not do what he did because he was persecuted, and I believe he was eventually put to death for the gospel of Christ. Oh, but he says, I'm not ashamed of it. Why? Because it is the power of God. We see the power of God today. We can go over to Matthew 11, where that well-known deal where the Lord, John's disciples went. John, talk about David having a life of ups and downs. Look at John who baptized the Lord. Now he's going to ask. Side story that made me think of Apostle Peter too. Another one who I can relate to. This week I had a friend request from some guy I didn't know on Facebook. But then he sent me a message. And he wanted to share a scripture with me to strengthen me. I looked at him. He was a Mormon missionary. I was like, accept. Come on, buddy. I don't know. Usually I do not want those deals. But I was like, yeah, let's do this. And so he sent me a message. And it was... Then he sent me a voice message, so I sent him one back while I'm driving. I just took off for preaching. And he never did respond. Or he did. He said, yeah, I like that, but he never has come back. I don't know. There's a side story. It relates to nothing. But it does. Peter. I said Peter had his ups and downs. I believe Brother Sonny's been preaching about those. When thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. I mentioned that. Well, John the Baptist baptized the Lord, and then he sends his disciples. Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? I believe for a moment he wasn't saying, oh God, thou art my God. He was wondering. He was questioning. We do have our doubts. Now, David, the one who wrote that psalm, the same guy, he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. That's our life, ups and downs. But he says, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. And I thought of this morning. These are great examples, I believe, of the power of God. Mm-hmm. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. The poor. We have. It's a miracle. Man, I know people that just, well, they think it's foolishness. That's scripture. It pleased God, though, to save us timely by the foolishness of preaching. 1 Thessalonians. Apostle Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica. Verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Verse 4, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. That's a blessed thing. That tells us so much right there. He's saying he's about to say what? Let me go ahead and read. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Can you imagine? now in this stage of ministry, I don't go to many new places. I'm going Stratton every Sunday. But when I started out, well, I was going everywhere. Louisiana here, there, people getting me to fill appointments, and you're just meeting all kinds of new people, and you don't know what you're walking into. But you know, you knew what you were walking out of. It didn't take long to know. Pretty much everywhere I went. Anyway, let's not talk about the negative. But everywhere I went, or I could go somewhere and leave and be like, the Lord was there. And Apostle Paul saying, this is how I know that you are the elect of God. Because our gospel came not in word only. We weren't up here just reading. I'm paraphrasing Paul, if you will. I believe, you know, sometimes it's dry as a powder horn, you know. But as Brother Sonny said, whenever I was saying up there, leading those songs and thinking of this, thinking of that, I tell you, when the Lord gets to blessing a sermon, that's the way it is. And you might go up there thinking, I've got one scripture, and then they're coming at you so fast you don't know what to do. That's not of us. That is the power of God. Oh, that I just want people to understand that it's not me. It's not the preacher. When you are fed, it is direct the Lord directly feeding you personally. He says, our gospel came not in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. I tell you, the gospel, when it's preached, it gives us much assurance. And it is powerful. Now, we've seen many different gifts come before us. We've seen loud ones. We've seen quiet ones. Well, it's still the same. When the gospel is preached, it's powerful. Oh, can you just think? Think on times whenever you needed a specific message and the Lord sent it to you. And He sent it to you by a sinner. That's one thing about me coming here. You know me. You know. Anyway. But when the gospel is preached, it's power. And he says back in the 63rd Psalm, oh, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Power and glory. Well, I think I might overuse this one, but I'm going to use it again. In the 33rd chapter of the book of Exodus. Because Moses, he felt like he was not up to the task that the Lord had given him. And Moses, let me see where I want to go. Well, Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, and that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is my people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Verse 15, and he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us up not. I thought of that last week. I was visiting with Brother Shane Arnold. I said, he's a Marine, if you can't tell. And we had some shady neighbors. And he put the fear, I believe, in him. And I'm like, well, I hope you're not starting a war and then leaving. But I was asking him about his service, and he got out in 2000. He says, oh, I said, you got out before it got really bad, huh? He goes, I did. I said, did you want to go back? He says, I did. I went to the recruiters, Marine recruiting office, And I really wanted to go back in to be with my friends who were going to fight. He says, but I went home from the recruiting office. And he says, I had a dream. And all I could hear in that dream is, if you go, I'm not going with you. And I thought, wow, you're like the opposite of Moses. But what did I, a while ago in 6th or something, early will I seek thee? Lean not unto our own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge it. Seek him. He will, it says, he will direct thy paths. So, then in verse 18 he says, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. He says, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. He said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord says, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. You can't see it, Mo. You can't see my face. But he showed him all that he could. What a blessing that is. There's things we can't see. There's things we won't know in this world. And we need to quit pulling out our hair trying to figure it out. But yet rejoice in the things the Lord has showed us and revealed to us. Because it is evident to me, and I believe it's evident to you, that he has indeed showed you his glory. He has caused his goodness to pass by this place time and time again. Ah, see thy power and thy glory. Hebrews 2. Remember I said, oh sir, we would see Jesus? I'm trying to remember where I was the other day and preached. I think it was Little Rock. Because of the song, I would see Jesus. He says in Hebrews chapter 2, starting in verse 5, for unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. He's saying the Lord defeated them all. But then it says, but now we see not yet all things put under him. You know, in 1 Corinthians 15, it tells us the last enemy he shall destroy will be death. Well, he hadn't destroyed that yet. We still are subject to it, aren't we? We have a cemetery right out here to prove that we need a cemetery, because we still are plagued by death. We don't see that. But he says in verse 9, but we see Jesus. Now, I'm going to get into a little grammar here. Not much, though. Punctuation, comma, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. So a comma inserted phrase means you can take that out, which I'm not saying take anything out of the Bible, but you take it out and then the sentence goes on. But we see Jesus, and then it says crowned after that second coming. Now we see Jesus, and it says, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering and death. And sometimes I've always read that and focused on the who was made a little lower than the angels. But no, it says, we see Jesus crowned. Crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. That's what we see here in the sanctuary. Oh, we see Jesus crowned with glory and honor. I'll go back to the 63rd Psalm and try to wrap it up there. Oh God, thou art my God. I just love that. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. Just made me think of, I'll praise my master. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. So we started, he said, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. And now he says, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. There's lots of things that can keep us awake at night, isn't there? Worries and cares and stresses. Not jobs for some of us, but it might keep us awake. But I tell you, let us meditate upon him. I believe we're seeing in this psalm a key to how David overcame in such difficult times. Early will I seek thee, and I'm thinking on thee, I'm meditating on thee, while I'm laying on my bed, I'm thinking on thee in the night watches. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. David, what a psalm this is. I thank the Lord that he blessed me. I don't even remember how I came upon it. But it starts out saying, O God, thou art my God. And he listed, I believe, he says, I've seen you in the sanctuary where I've seen your power and your glory. And we can relate to that experience. If you've seen his power in the sanctuary, if you've seen his glory in the sanctuary, you indeed can say, O God, thou art my God. You can go out into the world and you do not have to fear what man can do to you, because the God of the universe is your God. I thank you.